Welcome everyone to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Phil. We are so excited that you decided to join us today every single week, and we just thank you for your comments and your feedbacks. It's been really great, and we enjoy knowing that we're impacting lives and doing what God has called us to do and able to encourage someone each and every day, because this is what we're all about. It's kingdom business. We're doing life together and we're not alone. We're here for each other. And this is what we're all about when it comes to Life Chat with Viv and Phil. You know, Vilma, that podcast we did last week, you know, I listened to it and was on the air with your brother-in-law and your husband and your friend, right? Was Ty a friend or a colleague?
Yes, a friend.
Okay. In editing it and thinking back over the things that they've said, and I love, you know, well, I love a lot of things they said, like your husband, we'll start with him first, and what he said about he's not afraid to cry. And, you know, Jesus wept, so therefore, why is it that man can't weep? That was really a profound statement, and that if you need counseling, do go and seek counseling. And that's some of the things that your daughter was talking about when she was on the show about, you know, going to counseling, seeking counsel. And it's vitally important, not because you're Christian, you don't need counseling, and that's vitally important. But what I love how your brother-in-law explained it about the wave. He was saying it comes in as a wave. And when he said that, I could really relate with that, because then I understand with certain things and people I've lost throughout my lifetime, you know, I've lost a child also, my first child. You know, it comes in like a wave and you don't really realize that, okay, you're fine this moment, then the next moment you start thinking about it. And I love what they also said. Ty really brought it in, because sometimes when you're dealing with people who have lost, you know, sometimes you feel uncomfortable. You don't want to say their name. You don't want to say something. But he says that we want to celebrate their lives. We're not contagious. I think Rich said, to expound more upon what Ty was saying, you know, and I just thought it was just really a really good show. And I love how when you ask them the question about, did it bring you closer to God? What Rich said was, it wasn't that he was chasing God, but he felt like God was chasing him. It's almost like that scripture in Corinthians where it talked about, you know, when Peter was going through, God help me. And he's like, my grace is sufficient for you. It's like, you know, when I'm weak, he shows up even stronger in our lives, right? So, you know, I just had to really say how great those things those gentlemen said in the podcast. It really brought light to certain things, and I was, you know, definitely listening and hearing the way that they think. You know, this was a great idea, having the men from the man's standpoint. So I just wanted to highlight some of those things that they said, you know. And I don't know if anything stood out to you, Vilma, but I just felt like we just needed to highlight some of those things that they talked about last week.
Absolutely. It was a great show. I've been getting a lot of feedback, positive feedback on it. And one person even said, I hope every man can listen to this. I'm not sure how we can make that happen, but for our listeners out there, share it with people who, especially men who have gone through a sudden loss of a close person in their life, and to let them listen and understand that it is okay to grieve. Just don't allow the grief in itself to become unhealthy. Right. And for those of you who may be wondering, what are they talking about? We're talking about our last show where we had men on the show that was expressing how men deal with grief, which may be different from how women deal with grief. So that's what they're commenting on.
Right, exactly. And that just made me think, so in this time of trial, and we have Corona going on, and we have protests going on, is there a specific scripture or something that you have utilized, Vilma, in your life that is getting you through 2020?
Yes. I have more than one. I have several scriptures And when the men talked about standing on the word of God, I was going through my mind some of the scriptures that keep coming to my mind whenever I feel anxious or whenever I feel fearful or whenever I feel hopeless. And as I look back, I realize that the only reason why I can go through from day to day is because I depend on the word of God. I know that God is faithful, and I know that what he said in his word is helping me to go through this difficult time. So I can share with you one scripture in particular. There are several, but one is Psalm 91. And a number of people maybe have read that psalm, know that psalm. Let me go to verse, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It continues by saying, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. And the final verse I will read. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day. Let me read another two verses. Not the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And I will stop there. And this is one of the passages in the Bible that really keeps me going, that really keeps me anchored, that really keeps me trusting God in everything that is going on right now in the country and around me.
So why do you say that scripture? Because I know a lot of people in this time, yeah, we've been saying Psalms 91 and we've been quoting it, see it all over the internet. So why is it that scripture speaks to you in this time?
Okay, so as it says, and let me go back to verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when I think about the secret place of the Most High, and you ask yourself, what is the secret place that if we dwell in it and if we abide in the shadow of the Almighty? And my secret place is just having a relationship with God. My secret place is when I am in the scripture. My secret place with him is as I read, as I pray. So those are the secret places that I go to. And I dwell in his word. I dwell in speaking with him, that I live in what the word tells me. Because if I don't, I can really get discouraged fast. But as I dwell, and as the word says, dwell, to live in, to stay in the secret place of the Most High and just rest there. And as I dwell there, I really am resting in the shadow of the Almighty. And this psalm goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And when I think of a refuge, I think of somebody who, rescues. So it's like rescuing me from whatever is thrown at me, rescuing me, my refuge, somebody that I can go to and I can find solace there. And the blessings that he's promised are not for all believers, but to me, it's for those who live in close fellowship with God. And this is what every child of God needs to do, needs to look forward to. And when it talks about shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I'll go back to say that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And the omnipotent Lord will shield all those who dwell with him, and we shall remain under his care. It's like you inviting somebody to your house, and they are inside. You make sure they are safe. You are even yourself, the doors are closed, and you protect them.
Right.
God protects us.
Amen.
When I hear about the shooting, the COVID-19, the racial unrest that is going on, I just cling to him. And I say, God, you are my refuge and my strength. And if I can stay as close as possible to you by reading your word and being obedient to your word, I will be protected.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not saying that people who get COVID, people who are involved with the riot, they are not Christians. That's not what I'm saying. So for our listeners, I want you to hear me well. What I'm saying, even if something comes at me, I know that there's a buffer. They have to go through God to get to me.
Amen. That's right.
He has to allow it to happen.
That's right.
To me.
That's right.
It's like a mother and her child. No parent is going to let you come at their child. You're going to have to get to them first before you get to the child.
That's right.
And that's how I see God, as that fortress that is there. Mm-hmm. And unless he moves and allows things to get to me, it's not going to catch me. Mm-hmm. And if he allows it, he's going to take me through it.
That's right.
He's going to walk with me through it.
That's right.
And whatever the end result is, I'm satisfied that he's a part of the equation. I'm satisfied that he's going to receive glory, whatever way it turns out. He is going to get the glory.
Amen. Love it. Love it. Yeah, he's sufficient. And that's, of course, that's one of the scriptures I myself also look at. And I love the part where it says he hide you under shadow of his wings, or he hides you under that shadow. It's like they can't find you because your shadow is not being shown, you know. And we know that we have that thing with the Father, that he loves us enough and care for us, and he's mindful of us. And therefore, no matter what the enemy throws at us, he's there. And one of the scriptures too that I love, another one, is in Romans 8, I believe 28, where it's saying that all things work together for our good, you know, for them that love the Lord. So sometime when I'm feeling like I'm being attacked or something, I'm like, God, this has to turn around for my good. So it doesn't matter what the enemy throw at me. It has to turn around for my good. And that's my anchor, that I always quote that scripture. I says, all things has to work for my good. So no matter what comes my way, God, you get the glory, you get the praise. So it has to turn around. So either way, I'm going to win in the end, because God, you must get the glory. And that's another scripture that I know I stand on in this time, either dealing with my kids, dealing with marriage, or dealing with, you know, work or whatever it may be. God, I know it's going to turn around for my good. And through the pandemic and everything, like you just said, Psalms 91, it's the one that just quote every day, and just stand that we that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's with us. He's not against us. He's for us. And he is mindful of us. And just like your brother-in-law said last week on the episode, he's saying he didn't even chase God. He wasn't even chasing him. He chased after him. So no matter what, you're not alone. You're not alone in this time. You're not alone in this season. And that's why we just want to take this time, you know, to just encourage others that's going through that. We're doing life together. You're not alone.
Yes, yes. I just want verse 3 for a minute, which says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. As I think about this, sometimes subtle plots come at you, deception. People come, the enemy is a deceiver and he comes with deceptive ways. Sometimes, if you are not aware, in a very subtle way, things creep upon you. But when we rest in him, when we dwell in him, he is looking out for us. And because he's omnipresent, because he's everywhere, because he sees everything, nothing is going to escape him. Even when I don't see, even when I don't understand that you're leading me in a trap, because you come in such deceptive ways. You don't come as the wolf you are. You come as a sheep. But he understands and he knows it from the beginning. So he drops it in my spirit. Run or don't do that. So I truly have to just depend on him and stay where I am in his care. I am not going to try to wander out and try to do things on my own, because if I am with him, if I'm under his care, I know absolutely when the arrows come, when the subtle ways the enemy uses at times to get to Christians, whether he tries it through your marriage, whether he tries it through your children, whether he tries it through your neighbor, whether he tries it in your job, then if you are resting him, then the Holy Spirit will give you that understanding. Don't fall for it. They are not your enemy. And several times he can say, listen, your husband is not your
That's
enemy.
right. That's right. And some people would say too, how can you get to that position? Like you said, resting God or casting your cares on God. What would you say to those individuals would say, okay, that sounds so easy. How in the world can you do that? What would you say to an individual like that?
Well, first of all, what I would say, it takes a belief, a faith, a trust in the Word of God, what He says. And I know two things that I would say. God is not a man that He should lie. Neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Whatever He says, He is going to do it.
That's right.
God is faithful that He is going to do everything that He promises. The scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. I also know that he has a plan for you who are listening to me out there. And the plan that he has for you is one to prosper you and for you to reach to an expected
That's
end.
right.
And because he has all that intention for me, because he came and died on the cross for me, which is the ultimate sacrifice, because in his word he says he's going to prepare a place. If God could allow his son to die on the cross for me, then I have to believe and accept that everything else that he says and does, he will do,
That's right.
because that's the ultimate thing. So I believe that with all my heart, and I have seen, I have proved him over and over and over again. I know his track record.
That's right. And that's the important key is to build that relationship that you can know his track record. That's important and that's the key because if you don't have that relationship, if we don't cultivate that relationship with the Father and we don't know his track record, as you just said, then therefore we start doubting, we start unbelieving in the things of saying, can he really do what he says that he can do? So we have to definitely, as Vilma said, we have to believe and trust in his word. We have to cultivate that relationship, build that intimacy with him in prayer, in reading our Bibles, that we can have weapons, according to what Vilma was talking about, the schemes and plots of the enemy, that we have weapons that we can able to counteract the schemes and the plan and the ploys of the enemy, that we can hear clearly what God is trying to say to us in this season. And to tell a little short story, I remember my mother was going through some stuff and I couldn't help her at the time financially. And I remember saying, God, you said to cast your cares upon you and you care for us. So, Lord, I'm going to cast my mother on you right now. And I can't provide for her in this area. So Lord, she's a giver. She does these things that you will look upon for her to do. She cared for those who they didn't have anyone at the time. My mother would care for them. I said, God, so you're not going to owe anybody anything. So you take care of my mother. She's a care right now, casting her on you. And I'm telling you, God showed up and showed off in that situation just by me taking that one scripture. I was frustrated at the time because, of course, it's your family, it's your mother or whatever. I said, God, I'm going to just exercise that one particular word and I'm going to cast her on you. And when the thoughts come, I'm just going to, Lord, you got her. You got her. I'm not going to take her back. You got her. And God showed up and showed off in that situation and provided for my mother in that situation. So it might seem like a simple little thing, but sometimes we as believers need to exercise what we believe. Sometimes believers are the most non-believing people there is. And I'm sure you can attest to that sometime, Vilma, in our own selves too, you know, to step out on that faith and trusting and believing what God's word says about us. Sometimes it's difficult because we have so many things, distraction from the enemy. Like Vilma was saying, you know, we can't focus on those things. We have to focus on what God's word says.
Absolutely. And just to throw out a couple of things out there, there's so much that I pick up from what you just said. One, having faith in God is not as hard as we think, because if you are saved, it took faith to believe that you repent and you are saved. So you started out, you accepted him on faith. But he also tells us in his word that unless we become like a little child.
That's right.
You know, we won't see the kingdom of God. Basically, we have to be like a little child. What does little children do? They trust implicitly.
Yes.
Tell them, jump. They don't care if you're strong enough. They just want to jump because they believe in you, in mom or dad, that's going to catch them. Right. They're hungry. They never worry about you don't have money to go to the supermarket.
Right.
Come home, they are expecting dinner. While you're worried about where you get it, they expect it. So we just expect that because God is our Father, because he takes care of us, that we're going to have the things that we need. He is going to supply our needs. We cannot bring in the what ifs. Because that throw a wrench in things. And the other thing I want to encourage to do, move away from negative things. Move away from people who sow doubt in your mind.
Exactly.
Move away from people who tell you you're foolish to believe that. No. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and I'm not maybe saying them in order, but these are things that he wants you to think on so that your mind can be renewed. But if I'm going to have somebody around me who's always going to see the glass half empty, then it's going to make me see the glass half empty. It's going to discourage me. But I surround myself with people of like mind. I surround myself with people who know more than I do. Some people, they surround themselves with people who know less because they want to look like they are the authority on it. I love to learn things. I love to hear your testimony. I love to hear your story. And that encourages me because I know if he does it for you, he will do it
That's
for
right.
me
That's
because
right.
he's not a partial God.
That's right.
He's not a partial God.
That's right. That's good. That's so true. It's important who is speaking into our lives and who is help framing our destiny. That's vitally important.
Exactly.
And we have to really take a look because sometimes when you're down, look at the people around you. Look at the TV shows you're watching. Look at the news that you keep on pumping into your head, if that's the case. Those things, you know, everything is trying to get your attention. Everything is trying to speak into your life. The billboards, the TV, the internet, the Facebook, your job. you know, everywhere you're going. It's almost like when you go try to buy something, Vilma, on Amazon or something like that, and then you might leave it in your cart or you're thinking about it. You start seeing this thing pop up all over the place to remind you that, hey, you were looking at that one item to buy. You were looking at those shoes. You were looking at that dress. You know, remember the dress you were looking at. Everything is trying to gain our attention, but it's for us to be very strategic and purposeful about what we let into our eye gates, into our ear gates. It's very important that we do. And the words that we speak, that brings power. The Bible says our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know, we need to speak life or death. Which will you speak? Are you going to speak life or are you going to speak death? Because we could speak death into our future and death into our destiny. Are we going to speak life into our future and life into our destiny? And the thing that remind me too about the thing of the people that you associate yourself with, you know, it's very important even to tell our kids that, right? Because
Absolutely.
I tell my kids that too, and I even raised my niece, and I was remembering that while you were talking, it just came back to my mind that when she was in high school, she was like a C plus student. And she came from an era where she didn't even really believe that people could get A pluses. I couldn't believe this child didn't really realize that a person could get an A plus. And I'm like, what do you mean you think that's just something they dangle in front of you and you can't achieve it? So when she was C plus student, I said to her, listen, who are your friends? And she started telling me that all her friends said how smart she is. And I said, what's their grades? And she said, oh, they do D's and C's. I said, now I want you to go find me some A plus students to start hanging out with. Find them. That's when I found out that she didn't think that there was any. I said, find those A plus students and start hanging out with those
Absolutely.
students. And believe you, this girl started getting A's and B's instead of those C's that she used to get, because I told her, you need to surround yourself with people who want to go higher than you, because they will challenge you to go to the next level. And that's a part of life. If you want to go higher in the Lord, you surround yourself with people who want to thrive to go higher in the Lord. If you want to succeed in business, you surround yourself with like-minded people going in the direction of thriving towards the things that God has for them. Those are the things, the simple things that we can do to encourage us, looking at the right thing, listening to the right thing, to help us to get through this time and this season in our lives.
Absolutely. And I just want to share exactly the scripture about, whatever is true. And that's from Philippians 4, verse 8.
Right.
I want to make sure that our listeners can go look it up. And I'll just read what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want you to get exact scripture so that you can look it up and you can fall back on it when you are facing challenging times and doubts in your mind.
Exactly. And that's very important, because what we focus on, we could focus on, I think you mentioned before, if you focus on your husband to be blamed for certain things, then that's what you're going to get the outcome. But you need to focus on what's good, what's wholesome, what's true. Those are the things that will carry us through in this season and in this time.
Absolutely. Because, and another verse that would apply to what you just said is Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. It says, for we do not wrestle against
Right.
flesh and blood. So don't look at your child and see them as the devil. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your pastor. Don't look at your boss at work. Don't look at your neighbor. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But it goes on to say, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
That's right.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm.
Amen, amen, amen. This brings me to another thought too, Vilma. So do you think that, being of all these things going on right now, and then, yeah, we have election coming up, do you think that 2020 is just a terrible year, or do you think that God could still do good in 2020?
I think God can still do good in 2020. And I also think that 2020 has been a challenging year. Mm-hmm. But I also think that God is using all these challenges that we are facing, and he's turning it around for good.
That's right.
This year has caused a lot of Christians, including myself, mm-hmm. to draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. So it has brought out a people, a dependence on God that they cannot find anywhere else. So for the challenges, I think it has made Christians, or it should make Christians stronger. It should make us depend more on God and cry out to God. It should build a closer relationship with God, and it should keep us on our knees. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because these things come to do that. And in the end, we become stronger Christians. We witness more. We speak the things as how God would speak them. And who gets the glory? In the end, God is going to get the glory. And whatever he allows to come to you or to happen to you, he works it for our good. And in the end, he is going to get the glory.
That's right. That's why Romans 8:28 is one of my scriptures that I quote for this year. And I also believe, and I remember in the beginning of 2020, I was saying that, you know, somehow I felt like this is the year that we needed to declare and decree God's word more than ever. And seeing what, you know, sometimes we keep on saying we've been declaring and decreeing and we haven't been seeing anything happening. But sometimes we do that. We're just doing it just to do it. But we need to put an expectancy on that word we're decreeing and declaring. We need to expect mm-hmm. that something great is going to happen, you know, and I still do. I still say, you know, God, you know, I know there's more and there's greater things you have for me in 2020. I'm not going to look at the situation and circumstances, what's going on with me. I am calling for all that you have for me in the year 2020 will manifest itself. There will be nothing lacking, nothing taken away. But even though there may be death around me, or death in our family, or things that happen in our lives where I don't have enough clients anymore because of, you know, people are cutting in expenses and different things like that in my businesses. But God, you are my dependency. You're my source. There's greater things is happening. Even though my aunt died and other people have died in our family, but Lord, you are still our source. You're going to show up and you're going to show off mightily. And look what happened this year in 2020 for us, Vilma. We did a podcast. Go figure.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Go Amen. Figure. We didn't know this was a part of 2020, but still our expectations should always come from God, not man, not mm-hmm. the government, not society. Our expectation is from God and God alone. He's the one who will turn our situations around. He will make things that seems dim. He said he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's what he says in Ephesians 3. He will do exceedingly mm-hmm. abundantly above all that we mm-hmm. could ask, even dream, even think about mm-hmm. that he can do. So start dreaming again. Start thinking, not looking at the situation and circumstances, mm-hmm. not looking at the rioting and concerning yourself about so many unnecessary things, but the things that we're saying today, casting your cares on the Lord, the things we're saying today that our family and our children and our government is not our enemy. There's principalities and powers in the air that's trying to move us away from the things that God has in store for us. And like Vilma said, continue in his word, continue building that relationship, dive into that word, dive into communing with the Father. Those things are so important.
Exactly. I'm going to piggyback. You talk about expectancy, pray mm-hmm. with expectancy. Mm-hmm. And it is so important that I want to touch on it a little bit. And just to give a story where a church was praying for rain mm-hmm. and they went to church this Sunday and the pastor said, okay, how many people have their umbrellas with them? And he looked around and looked around and nobody did. Mm-hmm. And he said, but we are praying for rain. And that's a story. And I don't know how true the story is, mm-hmm. but it shows where their faith was.
Exactly.
So they were praying for rain, but they were not expecting rain mm-hmm. because nobody prepared that it would rain that day. Mm-hmm. So that's the expectancy. When we pray, we need to expect that it's going to be done. And we should not be giving God any time limit.
That's right.
And things, because mm-hmm. God does not work in our time. And sometimes God, you know, Vivian, what I realize, sometimes God sends us the answer. Mm-hmm. He gives us the answer, but we refuse to accept it.
That's right. That's right. That's so true.
We don't realize that no is also an answer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God will send the solution and we look at it and we're like,
nah.
I don't think this is it.
Yeah.
No. I don't want it in that way. I want somebody who looks like a certain way, who has a certain job. I know God. And then in the end, they say, God didn't answer me. But yes, he did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one more story. Mm-hmm. That this man was drowning. Mm-hmm. And God sent, you know, I think it was a fisherman right. and he didn't accept it. He sent like a helicopter right. or something. He didn't accept it. You know, he didn't think that was God and he wanted God to reach down and right. literally right. lift him up. And then he ended up drowning. And when he said, God, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent this person, that person, the other person, and you refused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to make sure with that expectancy that we don't expect, God doesn't work. His thoughts are not our thoughts, that's neither right. are his ways our ways. Mm-hmm. So he does things in a way which may not seem like, which may not be the way we want him to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But trust that he does answer our prayers.
Right.
Definitely.
Amen. Definitely. Yeah. We do think that it has to go a certain way that we see it. Just like when Jesus, you know, when he came on the scene, they thought he was supposed to be a certain way. And look at how he came mm-hmm. on a donkey and was born in a manger. And they didn't believe, the religious leaders did not believe that he was Jesus, that he was the Messiah.
Absolutely.
They still don't believe he's the Messiah because why? They have an expectant of something else, what they made up in their own mind of how it should be.
Amen.
Yeah. So we just wanted to take this time to just talk to you and encourage you in this time and that we're doing life together and we are all in the same boat. You know, Vilma is an executive at the college that she works at and she has the same challenges, even though she's on that level, she had the same challenges of family and work and church and ministry. You know, we have different people who are still, their kids are in school and they're still trying to deal with the fact that these children are home, some are at home. You know, I myself have one at home and the other one had to go into the school building. So juggling life together, we're juggling life and trying to make sure that our families are whole, our families are safe. We're doing what we need to do, spreading the gospel, you know, thinking about the kingdom, living a purpose-driven life, but to remember that our trust and our confidence is from God. It's not from man. It's not from society. And our identity is found in Christ. So we have to continue our hope in the Lord and build that intimacy with him, build and trust in him, because this time it may seem dim, But God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the thoughts he has towards us. He expects us to not put him into a box, not put him in a box and put a lid on the box or whatever, but he's a big God and he does things exceedingly. So we just want to take this time and to encourage you, our listeners, and to thank you for joining us, and to thank the men who poured out their heart last week. Vilma, do you have anything to add before we wrap up?
No, just to say that I don't know if you wanted, I feel like you need to just say a little prayer.
Yes, definitely. I was going to say that. I was definitely going to say yes. That was going to be my next thing. So we're going to just take this time and just say a prayer for our audience and prayer for our nation and just cover everyone under the shadow of God's wing. Right, Vilma?
Yes.
So go ahead. Do you want to start praying? Or
yes. I can go ahead and pray. Go ahead. And we want you to know, as Vivian said, we hear you, we see you, we empathize with you, and we are here to encourage you and say life goes on. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to encourage those who listen to us week after week. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, that I can stand on your word. I thank you, God, that whatever you say you will do, you absolutely come through.
Amen.
And right now, I just bring our audience before you, wide, far and near, and I just pray a blessing over them. I speak encouragement into their life. I speak, God, that they will continue to trust you, those who are Christians and those who are not Christians, that they will give their heart to you in the end, because without you, life can be difficult, life can be hopeless, and life can be lonely. But with you, God, you are able to take us through every difficult situation, and we may not escape them, but being with us as we go through makes it better. So I speak life into their lives, the lives of their children, the lives of their bosses. I speak your love for them, and I say, God, that you are almighty. I say that you love them with an everlasting love. I say you will never leave them nor forsake them. I say that they are victorious because you have conquered all. And I say in the end, God, you are going to get the glory for 2020.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I agree with your prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we could ask or think of in 2020. We thank you for listening. This is another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Goodbye.
Bye.